The nice thing about Maine is that it's a kind of a small town, small state feel, but we also have some really thoughtful and prolific and intelligent people that work here. And we've spoken with this individual before. She's actually a fellow Yarmouth healthcare practitioner and best-selling author of three books. This is Marcel Pick, who recently came out with her book, Is It Me or My Hormones? She also is the author of Is It Me or Is It My Adrenals? And The Core Balance Diet. Thank you for coming back in and having another conversation with us.
You're welcome. I'm delighted to be here.
Marcel, we're lucky to have you because you just came off a pretty intensive schedule with a PBS tour. Talk to me about that.
There was a PBS show taken after the book, Is It Me or My Hormones? And the goal for me really was to try to get the information out about wellness and health and how much we can actually impact how we age as we get older by changing our diet, and that food is really a game changer for us, and also lifestyle. We have much more impact in our long-term ability to be able to be healthy as we get older, than we ever thought before.
You've been a healthcare practitioner for a
A
while.
long
Yes,
time.
I didn't want to put numbers on
Do
it,
not do that.
but
No, a long time.
for many years.
Yes.
And so you've had a chance to spend time with women who have needed your help. So you've seen that it isn't just about diet, it isn't just about lifestyle, but it's about bigger things. So you've had to work through some of this yourself.
Absolutely. Well, I think we all do it. And part of what I wrote in the book, Is It Me or My Adrenals? It used to be called Are You Tired and Wired? Is the notion that a lot of us carry a story with us. And the story is about what really happened for us in our childhood and how we carry that forward. And for example, if you're a perfectionist and you're constantly expecting high things of yourself, that's going to actually impact your adrenals and your cortisol level. And if it goes on too much and you really, and women tend to do this a lot, they're thinking of everybody else but themselves. They're always being very critical of how they look and how they behave. And if they're perfectionist on top of that, it's nonstop, I'm not enough. That impacts our amygdala of our brain, which then sends messages to our adrenals. And the bad news with that is if it continues to go on and actually causes cortisol levels to stay elevated, which then downregulate our thyroid and our sex hormones and our immune system. So understanding yourself and how you think and how you behave is crucial to that. And I really understood that. I started doing encounter groups when I was in college to find out more about myself. I was very curious about why did I think the way that I did? Why did I behave the way that I did? So I've always been on that journey. And in 19, probably 89, 1990, I was introduced to the concept of the Hoffman process. And the notion is that our biography becomes our biology if we don't pay attention. And understanding about yourself and having an awareness is what the Hoffman's all about. And it's an 8-day program that I found immensely helpful for myself to look at how do I have patterns of behavior that really affect my physiology and the way that I think. And so I became very involved with them, did the process myself, refer a lot of my patients there. Again, it's not the answer for everyone. It's just a nice solution for some people if they're finding that their thinking is affecting their emotions, which is affecting their adrenals, which is affecting their health. And they are in California. I also have a program in Massachusetts as well, in the Berkshires.
You grew up in Australia.
I did.
How is that different from what you've encountered here in the United States?
Well, I grew up in a very kind of different scenario. We lived outside of Sydney in a place called Bundeena, and it was 2 hours by boat and train to get to Sydney. And we didn't have roads. I mean, we had no paved roads. There were three stores in the little area that I was in, surrounded by national park. I spent most of my day, if I wasn't doing homework, I was swimming in the ocean in the Barrier Reef, or I was looking caves, or I was going to some caves with a lot of Aboriginal drawings. So I was very connected to the earth, and there were deer and all kinds of animals around all the time. So it was my meditation on a regular basis. So I became very sensitive to my environment and was very, very clear from a very young age that I wanted to have an impact in the world and health related from the time I was very young. And more than likely, it was because I was so connected to spirit world in some ways because the world, that, and I didn't know it at the time, but I was very clear from a very young time that I wanted to make a difference.
This is part of something that you describe in each of your books, the need to reconnect with oneself on a pretty much a daily basis, on at least a contemplative level, if not a spiritual level. Mm-hmm. Is this something you've been able to continue to incorporate in your own life?
Yeah, I get up generally now. When I was doing the PBFs, I didn't, but generally I try to get up at 5 and have a time that I'm kind of looking at my life. I have 3 criteria that I pay attention to. Did I live? Did I love? Did I matter? And those are the ways in which I kind of really look at, you know, what do I need to work on today? What do I need to do a little bit differently? Am I staying connected to all 3 parts of myself on a regular basis? And of course, you're going to have episodes in which you do that well and episodes in which you don't. I'm not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm aware enough that I want to kind of do that for myself in my life so that I don't lose sight of the other parts.
Are you able to connect back with nature to the extent that you once did when you were younger?
There are times that you are and times that you aren't. You know, I was just in a time in which I was incredibly busy finishing the book and doing the PBS, and now I have a boat, so I spend a lot of time on the water. The water is really important to me, and I'm also a runner, so I really like to be outdoors, and I also bike, so I'm so excited that spring is really coming and the snow is starting to melt so I can be outside. Yeah, it's important. It's important for all of us is because I think so many times we forget the connection that the earth has for us and the rhythm of the earth and the rhythm of the moon and the sun. Those of us that live in Maine, we're more connected because we're so appreciative when the leaves are starting to come on the trees and the snow's melting. We do pay attention to that probably more ways than other people do.
When I was reading the Core Balance Diet, I was interested to see you reference your relationship with your mother, mm-hmm. and having to work through that. I don't know if she's still alive.
Or... She's not. She actually died in 1999.
But having to work through that and having to work through that as how it had impacted your own mm-hmm. physical self. Mm-hmm. It seems as though these books have been intensely personal to you, not just written from a healthcare provider standpoint.
Well, you know, what I've come to understand when you write anything, it's important to connect with your audience to help people in the audience understand that we all have these journeys that we're working through. So I don't know that they were really books that I wrote because of my personal. It's just that my personal came into it as well. And I think it really helps people if you personalize a book. I've written 3 now, so I understand how to do that. It helps people understand that they can see themselves in the books too many times. And I also tend to have a lot of stories of patients in there too. So I wasn't really writing the books to kind of work out my stuff. I was really using myself as a reference point to help people understand that many of the journeys, we all have them, and I'm no different.
And that's clear. I mean, as I was reading, it wasn't like Marcelle's doing therapy
working
as she's
stuff
writing
to her books.
No, that wasn't what I was getting. What I was getting was it came from a place of purity.
Yeah.
That there was really a very good reason that you thought it was important that you write this, and that also that you could relate to other women who might be having similar things in their lives.
When I wrote The Core Balance, I remember being in high school and I was one of those young women that just ate one meal a day, and I still was not really very thin. And I realized at that time I had done Weight Watchers once and I was weighing and measuring everything, and everybody else in line is like using pounds and going, oh, I cheated last night, that there was something that was off, and we now call that weight loss resistance. So I knew when I had figured out pieces to that puzzle, I was going to write a book about it. And that's really what The Core Balance Diet is about. It's a book about health, but it's a book about what happens to those women that are doing everything they're supposed to do, and they're still not losing the weight. I mean, there's many things that we understand now that we didn't understand before, and I even know more than I did when I wrote the book. But I wanted to have people, you know, not have to struggle in the same way that I had for so long, because everyone was saying, yeah, you're eating bonbons in the corner. It's like, you have no idea. That is so not true. But that then gave people the opportunity to look at what's blocking them. If the body's not working, what's wrong? So we can figure out upstream what the problem is, instead of always coming up with a diagnosis of you're eating bonbons in the corner, because that's not true.
So one of the things in the Core Balance Diet, and I like the way that you gave a, I guess essentially it was a questionnaire, and you enabled people to find areas that they were unbalanced in.
Right.
And then it seems as though you were able to expand upon one of those areas and write what is now, is it me or is it my adrenals? Then another area is it me or is it my hormones? So I liked that there's sort of a progression from the core balance to, okay, here, let's talk a little bit more about this.
Right, more
thing.
In depth.
Right. And in the is it me or is it my hormones, you even talked about, again, your own personal experience with trying to eat a certain way and things not being quite right with your hormones, and you couldn't quite figure this out. And then as time went on, you went, oh, wait, there is a relationship, and there is a relationship also for my patients. So talk to me about that, because I'm very, very interested in that, given what we know with especially young women and their eating habits.
Well, you know, the part that's always so amazing to me is that when I have my patients change their diet, and it sounds so easy to do, but it's more complicated because of our desire for sugar and our, you know, rushed life and the fast food industry and all those things. But when you get back to basics and you just do breakfast, snack, lunch, snack, dinner, and you do protein and whole foods, it's a game changer. I mean, it really impacts, because the three major hormones we have are not estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone. It's insulin, cortisol, and adrenaline. Those things, so stress and what we eat, actually impact our hormones more than anything else. And I think that's a surprise for my patients, and it certainly was a surprise for me, is as I cleaned my diet up, my cortisol stabilized. And as I cleaned my diet up many years ago, everything else went into balance. Now, it's not the only thing we need to do, but it's a great place to start. And so many people don't know the power of that. You know, and what I was say on the PBS show, it's a game changer. And it really is. Even now we know from epigenetics and nutrigenomics that if we change the food we eat, we can actually impact the expression of genes. Oh my God, that's so powerful, because it doesn't mean anymore if you have heart disease as a history or if you have diabetes as a history, well, it's just a matter of time. It's so not true. And it gives power back to us instead of thinking it's just a matter of time. It isn't. And that's amazing.
When you talk about cleaning up your diet, you're not talking about becoming a strict vegan.
I'm not. You know, it's interesting. I have many magazines that are calling for interviews now. And the interesting part for me and many of my contemporaries is, I'm sure there's exceptions to every rule, I don't find that many people can stand being a vegetarian long term. What happens to many of them is they have no energy, they have fatigue. The difficult part for all of us is that we do need protein, and oftentimes beans are not enough and tofu is not enough. So I'm someone that really believes that eating food from the ground, plant-based, in terms of, you know, half your plate vegetables and fruits, and perhaps not that many fruits if you're a little bit sensitive or insulin resistant, and then having protein and some carbohydrates, you know, whole carbohydrates, lower glycemic carbs, that balance, more of the Mediterranean type diet, we know scientifically it's fantastic for your health, and we know that it really keeps blood sugar stable, mood stable, neurotransmitters stable, all the hormones stable. It's amazing what it can do for you. So no, you don't have to have, you know, juice five times a day and all those things. And the part that's so important for people to know is it can be simple. I don't want people to spend all their day in the kitchen. I don't have time for that. And that's why in all my books, all the recipes are 30 minutes or less. I just don't have time to cook in the kitchen. Sometimes I'll spend time doing it. It's fun. But I wanted people to have real food that was really healthy, that the whole family could eat, that is made from scratch.
The vegan vegetarian piece is hard, as you talk about in your book, is hard for people to give up sometimes, because it is something that we get attached to, this idea that we have to rid our plates of all animal products. And you have experience with this. I think on the phone you were telling me that you did a macrobiotic.
I was macrobiotic for 15 years, absolutely. And there was a place in which I hit a wall, and I had no energy, I couldn't think clearly, and I added protein. Unfortunately, I remember going to a store and just looking at the steak going, oh my God. And I got some organic meat, and it was really amazing for me. and started really looking at some of the literature and the research. And I see it often in my practice. I'll have people that are vegetarians, and I'll say, I really think you need to have more protein. I'll tell them, and they'll come back, and I wrote about it in the book, and they'll say, I feel fabulous, and I hate you, because there's so much wanting to not do the meat. And I get it. I understand that. So it's finding out for them what works. And it's an individual issue. We all are going to be different. We don't all have the same needs. And physiologically, we're going to have differences as well.
For people who listen to this show on a regular basis, we've interviewed functional medicine practitioners before.
Yeah.
But some people may not be familiar with the ideas behind functional medicine. Yeah. So tell me a little bit about that.
Functional medicine is probably, for me, it's really what changed the way I practiced. And I've been doing it for 25, 26 years, a long time. And I was always curious, if I had a problem with a patient and I was trying to kind of come up with a diagnosis and then treat it, it didn't seem to really get rid of the issues. So functional medicine is more about kind of looking at the body like a cobweb, trying to understand all the pieces that make up that web. Is it the endocrine system? Is it, you know, about the mitochondria that's not producing enough energy? Does it have to do with lack of energy from nutrients? Is it lifestyle? Is it emotions? Is it what they're eating? You know, what is it, lack of love and joy? What is going into the equation that's causing the problem? So I'm a detective. I'm trying to figure out, well, it could be a little of this, and it's a little bit of that, and it's a little bit of this. Toxicity is another part that we don't ever talk about in kind of the conventional world, all of which we now know affect people. So the part that's wonderful is when you figure out the pieces and you see people change, it's dynamic, because you have people that have never felt better, you know, with polymyalgias, from chronic fatigue to even, you know, ITP, which is a blood disorder. People are on medication and they still don't feel well. And ultimately you change all these things and they're no longer on medication. They feel better than they have in years. That's amazing. But it is how it works, because it's getting to the root cause of the problems.
And functional medicine will often require some laboratory testing, some taking foods out of people's diets, eliminating things, adding supplements back in. So it is a process.
It is a process. So you have to look at what you have to remove, what you have to add, what you have to take away, what you may need to shift and change, all those, and replenish. All those are part of the process. And yes, it does take a little while. If somebody's been sick for 25, 30 years, it didn't happen overnight, so it's going to take a little while to see those changes. And I do questionnaires with people each time I see them to see kind of a whole body approach. Are things getting better? And they almost always are. And if they aren't, what have I missed? You know, and is the toxic load of the mercury in their mouth? You know, unfortunately, it is an issue for some people. Do they not have a specific enzyme that they need to convert folic acid to folate? All those are pieces, and we're different. And some of us have genetic SNPs, we call that, that prevent us from mobilizing some of those nutrients well. So understanding that is huge, because then you can shift nutrients as well. It makes a big difference for our health. And we're all different. We all have different issues that we're born with, and different emotional issues that we get stacked onto that, and environmental issues. And then we have to change things, because usually especially at menopause, when estrogen goes down, which is an anti-inflammatory, then all those things seem to come to the surface.
That is an important part of, is it me or is it my hormones, this environmental discussion, and really having people take a look at whether they're putting plastic in the microwave, right, or what are some of the things that they're using that might be contributing to a body burden of chemicals and toxins. And I think that's very forward thinking.
You know, when I wrote the book, I wanted to write the book. One of my friends just wrote another book on hormones. It's a very thick encyclopedia. And I wanted this to be a book you could read on the treadmill, to just get the snapshot. We don't have time. Just give me the answers. Give me the information. So there's sections in there in terms of just what to do. And the two pieces I think that are new pieces of information are indeed the notion that we have estrogen disruptors. And we know, and we've got tons of research to support this, that young men are having their sperm counts go down, many more incidents of infertility, and we now know this association with toxic burden. We also see many, we've known for a long time, women with endometriosis. It's a burden of dioxins in the body. So there's many connections that we're starting to make now. So it's getting people aware that, yeah, if you're going to use a microwave, perhaps use it less and use the cooktop a little bit more. Don't use plastic in the microwave, and don't put your food in plastic containers. Put it in glass containers. If you're going to use cans, make sure they're BPA-free. Be aware that there are about 30% of the population that doesn't detoxify very well, and they oftentimes are the ones that have the more PMS, and they have more endometriosis or polycystic ovarian syndrome. Those are direct association. And the guys with the big bellies, you know, those are usually estrogen dominant, we call that, not as much testosterone, as they shift their food and then the burden of the plastics, they also notice that their belly goes down, their testosterone levels go up, and their libido goes up. So we absolutely know scientifically that this association, and that's functional medicine. It's kind of looking at what do we know from science and how do we look at that information and use that information, looking at the matrix in a different way.
What are some of the other benefits? You talked about men and their libidos going up. Uh-huh. I know that when women's hormones are balanced, then their libidos can improve.
Their libidos go up too. Well, their whole sense about feeling more sensual goes up. And I think as a culture, so many years we've been talking about women when they're in their 50s, and that's why so many women are terrified when they're menopausal, is they're going to dry up and just become these old ladies. And it so doesn't have to be that way. And I think that's a huge piece that we need to tell our listeners is, I would say 50% of my patients over 50, 55 are not sexually active and they're in relationships. If something's wrong, we're missing the boat here, that we really need to help women understand that doesn't have to be that way. If they choose it and they're conscious about it, that's wonderful. But it doesn't have to be this way. We can be sensual into our 80s and 90s and feel that way.
What are some of the other balances that come about as part of looking at one's hormones and making changes in one's diet and lifestyle?
The piece that's huge for women is putting yourself on the list, and preferably number one. When we go on airplanes and they tell us to put the mask on ourselves first before our children, I remember thinking to myself, oh my God, are you crazy? I would never do that. But if I don't have what it takes, I can't help my kids. And that's true all the way around. The more we feed ourselves, and I don't mean food-wise, I mean with things that we enjoy, with other relationships, with friends, with, you know, exercise, being outside, the more we're filled up enough to be able to give back in the way that we can give back, and that really helps the adrenals. Though the key piece for me is to help people understand that. And also, if you're going to exercise, do something that you love, because if you don't, you're just going to sign up for the gym in January and use it twice and never go back. So it's really being aware enough of yourself that you do what you like to do, and sometimes do an inventory for yourself to see other friends that I'm having in my life supporting me. Because if they're not, then it's probably not good for you. So it's really being aware on many different levels.
You talked about the oxygen mask and putting it over your mouth before putting it over your children's mouths. But I know that you actually have spent quite a lot of time being a very good mother to your own kids who are now in their 20s and are becoming healthcare practitioners, or at least two of them, health practitioners themselves. How has the work that you've done as a healthcare provider, and specifically one for women, how has this impacted your parenting?
Oh my gosh, that's an interesting question. I've been a little bit of a renegade since I was young. And when my kids were young, I was doing a lot of homeopathy. We didn't do fluoride. I was very much of a new age mom in terms of the food. We didn't have sugar in the house. My kids didn't know what sugar was until we went to a restaurant and they were six, and somehow they put their finger in the sugar bowl and that was it. But so I've always been this way. And I think it has impacted my kids now. They used to complain about it a lot. There's nothing in the house to eat. I'm embarrassed to have my friends over. But now they're all eating that way and very, very conscious of kind of nutrition. And my youngest had asthma, and now he's doing homeopathy and certainly would probably never smoke and is very aware of his body. So I think it did impact it. And, you know, I've also said to my kids, look, I did the best I could and I'll pay for therapy later. I know I didn't do 100% good job, but it's just trying to be aware as much as I can all the time. So my self-awareness is just always growing.
You're still seeing patients at Women to Women in Yarmouth.
I am, yeah.
And you have recently published Is It Me or Is It My Hormones? You just have this PBS special. You have a radio show that is happens on Thursdays from 6 to 7.
Right.
You have a busy and exciting life. What's next on your horizon?
What's next? Well, I also have a very big online presence with the newsletter that I write. It's at womentowomen.com. Well, they're asking me to do another book proposal actually right now, and I have to kind of think about whether I want to do that or not. I was thinking I'd take a little time to just kind of breathe a bit here, but I don't think that that's how the industry goes. So more than likely another book will be coming as well, and I may be doing another PBS. We'll see. They're kind of pushing me to do that as well, so we'll see.
Marcel, how can people find out more about Is It Me or Is It My Hormones or Is It Me or Is It My Adrenals or the Core Balance Diet?
Yep. The website, womentowomen.com, that's a place. You can order the book itself going to marcelpick.com as well. So, and we have lots of resources on Women to Women. The goal for me many years ago was to help teach people how to be their own midwives, to learn about themselves so that they could then take that information and get healthier, which is really my goal for people, so that they're not on 15 different medications by the time they're 70 with 100% drug interaction and needing more because they've got so many side effects. I mean, that's really what we need to teach people, is they can change so many things by changing the way they live their lives.
We've been speaking with Marcel Pick, who is the author of multiple books and most recently, Is It Me or Is It My Hormones? And I am so glad that you are a resource for the state of Maine, that you right in my own hometown of Yarmouth. And I appreciate your coming in and spending time with me today.
It's delightful to be here. Thanks.